Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 21, and this is Jesus, and he starts with a question. And recently when we were teaching on the love of God on a Tuesday night, we discovered that questions are just as important as answers. But before we do that, I want to thank Brother Jim Sundahl and whoever else served in the military. Brother Mark Sobel, Brother Jim Sundahl, Sister Debbie Carlson, Brother Michael McMurphy, thank you for serving in our armed forces. We appreciate that. And at least two of them served overseas where they were fighting the communistic dictatorship, which would seal us out of our freedom to worship. And that's one of the best freedoms that we have. If you want a humbling, inspiring experience, just drive right up the hill. And when you get to the top, just go straight instead of turning left. And I'm going to do that on my way home. I do it every Memorial Day, and you'll see more than 11,000 flags that represent servicemen and women that gave their lives, that gave their service to our country. And I'm so, so grateful for that. And my father was one of those individuals, and so I go up and look at the memorial for the Korean conflict, and I say, thank you, God, for somebody who was willing to take a risk for me. Matthew 21 and 28, Jesus says, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, go work today in my vineyard. And he, the son, answered, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, sir, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. And Jesus said unto them, assuredly, I say unto you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Ouch. And then he gives a commentary. For John came to you in the way of the righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. So he says, which is better, to say I will and not, or to say I won't and then do it? So this is a big question, because we make mistakes, and sometimes we make promises and don't fulfill them, and sometimes we resist God's will initially, and then we surrender to the will of God. And I want us to be reminded today, and I believe the Holy Spirit does, that what's most important is that we end doing the right thing. So today, if you came into this place and you're waffling on your commitment to God, if you're uncertain, maybe you said yes to God about some certain area of your life and then you haven't really fulfilled it, I'm preaching to you. Maybe you said, I won't, but now I'm preaching to you and say, please say yes to God. If you are persistently and continually living for God and pursuing him, I want to say to you, God bless you. God's Spirit is upon you, and his blessings will be with you. Thank you for standing in honor to the Word of God, and you may be seated. So today I speak to a people that are much like me and all the others who have ever lived on this earth, or that happen to live on this earth today. I speak to imperfect people. I speak to men and women who have made mistakes. I speak to men and women who may have regrets, and maybe strong regrets or many regrets. I speak to men and women who have said yes to God and then failed to follow through. And I speak to men and women who have said no to God and now worship in his presence with a yes attitude. The message I speak is intended to be very clear, and I don't want to waste your time with pretty poems or fine soliloquies. I don't want to just make us our ears itch. And by the way, the Bible says there's going to come a time when people will heap to them teachers having itching ears. And that doesn't just mean preachers. They'll gather anybody around them that will tell them that what they want is the right thing and what they think is the right thing. It's my desire that if you have said yes to God and are living a no lifestyle, that you will find a yes spirit in the house today, and that you will allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to get a hold of you to where your heart is saying yes. It's not just your intellect, but your passion and your will. And it's my desire that you and I will be transformed. You see, this problem of struggling between right and wrong, the issue of wrestling with the flesh to be obedient to God, is a universal one. The battle of submission to God is not new, nor is it faced by only the worst of humanity. In fact, a prophet, a God-called man who was called from his mother's womb, the weeping prophet that was mentioned by Brother Brandon this morning, in Jeremiah 20:9 said, "I will not make mention of him, God, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." So there are many in this world today that say, no, I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to give. God, no. But it burns inside of us. I hope there's something burning inside of you and I today that is willing to declare the will and the purpose of God to our generation. You see, we are all called to be evangelists. We're all called to be missionaries. We're all called to be disciples. And disciples, as we heard, are people that go into the world in which we are born. And there are times when we'll get timid, all of us, and we get shy. And of course, it didn't help during this last season that we could hide behind shields and masks and in our little house and interact a whole lot less with humanity. And now we are forced back out into culture and society. It's time to open up our voice and say, "He is Lord. He is the only way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by Him."
Amen.
Thank God that Jeremiah did not hold back. He was the one that gave the prophetic utterance that we sang about. Oh, he loves us. He has great plans for us. He has good news for us. Jeremiah became a voice of warning to the wayward. He became a voice, the voice of judgment to the wicked, and the voice of strength to the righteous. Jeremiah became the voice of truth. And that's the unique thing about truth, is when truth is spoken, it convicts the wayward and the sinner, but it liberates the obedient.
Yeah.
It brings condemnation to those that are refusing to follow God, but it brings great liberty and freedom to those that are submitted to the will and the purpose of God. Because it's the Word of God, it's truth. And truth doesn't change, but it forces us to face ourselves as who we are and either choose not to change and in our waywardness end up in eternal damnation, or if we do change, we have the hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ. You see, the words of God through this man, Jeremiah, would bring warning and hope to a nation and ultimately speak to this, our generation. How often we often judge a man by what he says he will do, but God judges a man by what he does in the end.
Yeah.
Humanity praises good beginnings, but God rewards a strong finish.
Yeah.
A politician will often be elected on the basis of a promise of what they will do, but many times they're sent packing because they failed to do what they said they would do.
Yeah.
You see, God is not one who rewards on the basis of a good start. He rewards on a strong finish. These words of warning come from the lips of Jesus Christ in Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." Many will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker, ye who practice lawlessness." That's workers of iniquity. That's the King James. So he says, "You say, but you don't do." Oh, I want to be a doer. I want to be obedient. I don't want to just say yes. I want to live yes. I don't want to just talk right. I want to be right. It is not those who say they will that receive the approval of God. It's those who do the will of the Father that are rewarded. Yes, we read it. The man said, the son said, the offspring of the father said, I will, and didn't. And sometimes we struggle with that. Sometimes we wrestle with that. And I'm not going to ask you to say amen, but you can do it in your heart or rattle your brain around and say, yeah, I say yes, and then I don't do yes. I say I will, and then I fail to do. But oh, what counts is that we can turn around. And today is a time for a turnaround. It's a time for a reversal and say, oh, I was saying yes and not doing yes, but I'm going to say yes and do yes.
Yeah.
I said no, but I've changed my mind. I'm going to say yes, and I'm just going to show up and work in my Father's vineyard.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And he notices that. And he rewards that. If you have promised God that you will and have not, there is time for a turnaround today. One day there won't be, but today we have time for a turnaround. If you have told God that you will not, and now you're willing, there's time for a turnaround. Just start doing what you promised, what God asked you to do. And I'm not just talking about your basic Christian living. It may be that God has called you to a level of ministry that you have pushed back from because you're lazy, or you think you can't, or others have said you can't, or you just don't think you have the right qualifications, or you're not quite at the top of your game. But oh, God said to his disciples, God in flesh, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's a process that we're going through. As we begin to deliver the message, we get better at delivering the message. We get bolder. We get more wise. We get able to tell people more clearly. There was a man we call the prodigal. He was selfish and he did not appreciate his father's house. He didn't have respect for the future. So he asked for his inheritance and walked out on his responsibilities. He walked out on the father. He wasted his inheritance. He lived a shameful lifestyle. And it depends on which version we read. He wasted it on riotous living. At least that's what the younger brother said. Or the older brother. But in Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 18, we read in the plain English, I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. You see, attitude is huge to God. We don't deserve anything. We do deserve some things. But we don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve freedom in his presence. We don't deserve to worship unafraid and unashamed and without any guilt or without any fear. But he's changed us. He's revolutionized our life. We've been bought with a price. So we glorify God in our body and our spirits, which are his. We rejoice in his presence and we're thankful. And every time I come into the presence of God, whether it's in my private devotion or in a small setting or in the church congregation, and I feel the wafting of his love, it makes me realize his mercy endures forever, and my heart rejoices. And I don't stand here because I deserve it. I stand here because of his love and his mercy. Yes, it's like a hurricane. And I'm the tree bent by the hurricane. I'm moved by his love. That's what the song is trying to say to us. Is God's love will transform us. The prodigal assumed that he was no longer worthy to be called a son. He knew he had failed. But in verse 20 we read that he got right up and went home to his father. He said, I'm going to face the consequences. At least if I'm a servant, if I'm a hired hand, I have food to eat and I have a place to live. And then we read the actions of the father. And when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and his heart pounding. He ran out and embraced him and he kissed him. He felt the love of the Father before he could even get the words out of his mouth. It's my hope that today you feel the love of the Father before you've even expressed your words to him. If you have a prayer of repentance today, I hope you can feel the love of the Father, because it's the love of God that's going to keep you. Yes, it says the greatest of these is love. The greatest. There's other things that are important, but the most important is love. And as I've said, hope is not going to be needed in eternity, because we will either be in hell or we'll be in the presence of the Lord. And you only hope for what you do not yet have. Faith is something that takes us from glory to glory and strength to strength. It's what keeps us driving until we receive what has been promised. But when we get to heaven, we won't need faith. But love will still be there, because God is love. And love will sustain us for all of eternity. How long is that? Don't ask me. I can't figure it out. It's making my heart go this and my stomach go this right now. And I feel it. But I know this is when I'm in the presence of God here in this earth, in this mortal form. I feel his presence and I have his peace. And I'm not worried about eternity. And I'm not fearful about what my existence is going to be like. And I'm not resistant toward it. I'm just surrendered. And I'm at peace. Well, eternity will be just as good as that, I'm sure. So the son said, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. He realized it. He admitted it. This is so important. It is so important that we own what we've done and who we are and where we've been. That's so important. If you've been born again of the water and the Spirit, it's so important that you know how to confess your sins to Jesus Christ, because he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I know if you've been around here 10 years, you've heard that 100 times out of my mouth, but it's still the truth. It's not about how great you are or how your words are flowery enough or how sincere you think you sound. He's faithful and he's just. And the just thing to do is to forgive you. The just thing to do is to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Doesn't that make you want to turn around and go in the right direction? There's time for a turnaround. Our world is in confusion. There are millions around our globe that are walking in the wrong direction. I believe that there are tens of thousands that have walked away from God. But it's time for a harvest. It's time for the wayward, the prodigal to come. And we are seeing the prodigal return to the house of the Lord. Thank God for the return of the prodigals. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Because even though you and I showed up at church every Sunday, sometimes we were prodigals in our heart. But oh, he's faithful. Oh, he's just. And in verse 22, the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants. He's in the middle of the speech. You see, your showing up was enough to say, God, I'm here. Your showing up is enough to say, God, I want to be a part again. Your showing up was saying, it's better here than it is there. Your showing up is saying, I made a mistake and I need to go in the right direction. He wasn't even listening. He was saying to the servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. What was he saying? You know, he stinks. Sometimes we stink. God wants to give us a new view. He wants to put a new set of clothes on us. He wants us to represent him. And so he clothes us in his righteousness. And he clothes us in his love. And he clothes us in his kindness. And then he gives us the ring. That's the family ring. That's not a wedding ring. That's a signet ring. That's a ring that has an initial or the family seal on it. So you can go to the market. And there they have a little bit of a candle burning. And you say, I want to buy that. And they say, okay. And they dump a little bit of the wax from the candle on the page. And you just stick the ring down in there and pull it out. And there it is. And they know when collection time comes, they're going to be able to go to the Father. And they're going to say, see, here it is. And he says, no problem. That's my signet ring. Whatever he bought, I've paid for it. I will pay for it. I am so glad that when we return to God with our heart, he'll pay for the love and the peace and the joy. He'll pay for that clean conscience. He'll pay for that provision that we need, spiritual, physical, earthly, all of the things that we have need for. He says, here, you take it. And whenever you have a need, you just stamp it down in that hot wax, and you'll know that I will pay for it. Verse 23, and get the grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. They didn't say, let's let him hang out for 3 months and see if he makes it. No. They didn't say, well, we'll be watching. Yeah, he's got his hands up. He must be all right. His check's in here. Must be all right. No, that's not how it works. As we return, and the Father says, rejoice. My son was dead. I thought he was gone. I didn't think he was coming back, but here he is today. Let's have a party, guys. Let's celebrate. The Father didn't want another servant. He wanted his son back. It wasn't about a live body to get the job done. It was about a return of the one who had his name. He wanted a son relationship. The Father wanted someone who would share his purpose, someone who would be an heir. The Father desired restoration of the Son. So some of us have been sons and daughters that have wandered away, and then there's others that, well, we just kind of got the big head. Nebuchadnezzar was a king, and he was proud, he was arrogant. He had experienced the power of God, and he had seen the fourth man in the fire, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fourth one, like the Son of Man, or the Son of God, he said. And he had ignored the warning of God. In fact, earlier in the fourth chapter of Daniel, the Lord had given him a dream, and he called his wise men, and they couldn't give him the understanding, but Daniel could. And he says, I had this dream, and there was this big old beautiful tree, and it was gorgeous, and it had all kinds of fruit. And a servant of God, a messenger from God, said, hey, we're going to cut down that tree because that tree's proud. What is that? And Daniel said, that's you. Because Nebuchadnezzar had been given power over Israel by God, and he was saying, I did that. I won those people to God. I'm holy and righteous. The power is all about, I must be a step above. No. Because it's about his mercy, it's about his grace, it's about his love. And the Bible says this, in verse 25 of Daniel 4, you will be driven away from human company. You will live like with the wild animals. You will graze on grass like an ox. You will be soaked in heaven's dew. You will go on for seven seasons, and you will learn that the high God rules over human kingdoms and that he arranges all human affairs. So he ignored the voice of the prophet. He ignored the dream. And he said he would, and he would submit, but he did not. And so God gave him mental illness. And he lost his reasoning, and he only knew to eat the grass of the field. He's king. Now, I don't know how they do that, but they somehow shielded the people from what was knowing. And the Bible says his hair grew like feathers on his back, and he just wandered around eating grass for 7 years. But verse 33 says this, and it happened at once. Nebuchadnezzar was driven out from the human company, ate grass like an ox, was soaked with heaven's dew. His hair grew like the feathers of an eagle, and his nails like the claws of a hawk. And at the end of 7 years, I want you to see what happened and what brought the change. I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven, I was given back my mind, and I blessed the high God, thanking and glorifying God that, who lives forever. His sovereign rule lasts and lasts. His kingdom never declines and falls. It's soon, he said, at the end of the 7 years, I just looked up and I began to glorify God. Today, what he is looking for is for men and women that will glorify him and say, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about your power. It's all about your glory. It's all about your might. It's about what you have done. It's about who you are. It's about your purpose. It's about your design. And he said, life on this earth doesn't add up to much, but God's heavenly army keeps everything going. No one can interrupt his work. No one can call his rule into question. And at the same time that I was given back my mind, I was also given back my majesty and my splendor, making my kingdom shine. All the leaders and important people came looking for me. I was reestablished as king in my kingdom and became greater than ever. And that's why I'm singing. I, Nebuchadnezzar, singing and praising the King of Heaven. Everything he does is right, and he does it the right way. He knows how to turn a proud person into a humble man or woman. And he says, "Oof. I tell you what I want to see, what I want to experience is just people saying, it's all about you. I'm going to praise you, God. It's about you." If you stand with me, I just want to present to you just a couple more concepts this day. Still, I can't understand how they made him king again. But God does whatever he wants to. What he does is right, and he does it the right way. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. Do you think he had regrets? Probably, but he was in the right place by the time it was all done, and that's what really matters. So are you in the right place? Now, God, you know. Don't deceive yourself. You don't deceive God. Just say, Father, I'm going to lift my hands to you and thank you that I get to be in your presence today. And while I'm in your presence, I'm going to glorify your name and say, your will be done. Lord, I may have said yes and lived no. I may have said no, but now I'm going to live yes. You may ask, have I gone too far? Is there hope of restoration? Can I have any place in the Father's house? Will God take me back? Job put it this way in 14 and 7. For there is hope of a tree, if it's cut down, that it will sprout again. Yes. And that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. There's a tree that I love. It's a weeping willow tree. I love how it spreads its branches over the house or the yard. There was one in the front yard of my aunt and uncle's. There was one across the street from us when I was a kid, but a large storm came through, and it probably was 3.5 feet through at the trunk, but it snapped it probably about 5 feet off the ground, and I remember it covered the whole street. It was so large. They came and they cut it down, and I don't know if they just couldn't afford the stump grinder, but they just cut it off just about that far above the ground. And it was there in the neighbor's yard for years, and then all of a sudden, it looked like a bush. And all these sprouts started coming out of the trunk, right down by the roots. And it looked like a willow bush because it was a willow tree. It hadn't been tended. It hadn't been fertilized. But the rain came. And the rain of the Holy Spirit is in this house today. It said at the scent of water. there's a chance that it will blossom again, that it will grow again. Even if the roots die in the ground, there's hope. There's hope for you today. There's hope for me today. And there's several things we can do. And I know it's very private what we do at the altar, what we say to God, but we can come and say yes to Him if we've been saying no. Just come and say, yes, God, I repent. I ran around. I left, but I'm coming back, Father. Just make me a servant. And He's saying, no, 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 you're a son, you're a son, you're a son. Or maybe you said no, but you realize today that you really want to say yes. Just show up and submit and surrender and raise your hands and worship to Him. Or maybe you just want to come and stand in His presence and give gratitude to Him because He did restore you, because He did take you back, because somehow in the deadness of your roots, there sprung up a leaf and there sprung up a twig, and it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew. And here you are, restored in the presence of the Lord. I encourage us all to come forth and open our hearts, open our spirits to Him. Here, Jesus, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that You saved me. I'm so thankful.